This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, shifting over to stuff in the more kind of near term, we turn our attention closer to home. Over the weekend, the leaders of ASEAN convened for the 34th ASEAN Summit in Bangkok, and Thailand is the ASEAN chair this year. It's the first time that newly elected Thai Prime Minister Prayuth Chan-o-cha presides over the international gathering. It's an interesting time for ASEAN because the bloc is looking to navigate a rivalry between the US and China. So for some more insight, we have on the line Benjamin Bland, director of the Southeast Asia Project at the Lowy Institute in Sydney. Thank you for joining us, Ben. So yesterday, the ASEAN leaders agreed upon the ASEAN Outlook on the Indo-Pacific as a guide to navigate the elevated tensions between the US and China. What do we know about this common strategy and how it differs from previous approaches?
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it doesn't differ too much from previous ASEAN statements on managing tensions in the South China Sea and in the wider region. I mean, as we all know, ASEAN is an organization that likes to take things slowly and it operates through consensus. So this new strategy does sort of draw reference to rising rivalry in the region and calls for win-win cooperation and says that the region must avoid the zero-sum game. But beyond that, it doesn't have any sort of substantive new way of understanding the tensions or any new actual strategy for managing, beyond what ASEAN's been doing for many years in terms of regional engagement, meetings with other countries, the East Asia Summit, etc. So I think it's very much something that comes out of the ASEAN way of doing things. It's not really a shift in direction.
And Ben, you know, China has been pushing for progress on a free trade agreement with ASEAN, known as the, Regional Comprehensive Economy Partnership, or RCEP. ASEAN has committed to concluding negotiation on the RCEP by the end of the year. What outstanding issues remaining on the table?
Well, I think a number of the chapters in this trade agreement have been agreed. There are a number of technical issues that still need to be agreed. But I think the real challenge appears to be more of a political one. So this RCEP is an agreement between the 10 countries of ASEAN and 6 other countries, including China, Australia, South Korea, and India, among others. And I think the key problem is going to be China and India. So the other countries all have some sort of trade arrangement already. But I think India is very concerned about the possibility of opening up its market to Chinese competition and a flood of cheaper, better quality Chinese imports coming in. So I think that's going to be the main sticking point as the countries look to bring this deal to conclusion at a time when, as we know, globalization and trade deals have really been under a lot of pressure in the rest of the world.
And still on the topic of China, China's approach to the disputed territories in South China Sea has long been a source of concern for ASEAN. Now, do you think that the US-China trade war will have any bearings on how the South China Sea issue plays out?
I think there's 2 points here. I mean, one, in the short term, I think Beijing and the Chinese Communist Party is under a lot of pressure right now on many fronts. In Hong Kong, the tariffs, the U.S. pressure on technology companies from China, such as Huawei. So I think perhaps in the very short term, some people hope that China might ease some of the pressure on Southeast Asian nations. But at the same time, we know there's still been ongoing incidents, like a recent Philippines fishing boat that was sunk by a Chinese vessel. So there's a hope that China might ease some of the pressure in the short term. In the longer term, I guess, if U.S.-China competition is going to become more sort of deeply baked into the region, I think that's unlikely to lead to an easing of pressures in the South China Sea. But obviously, Southeast Asian nations and China are pushing ahead with this code of conduct, which hopefully at least, if it's eventually agreed, will sort of make clearer rules for when there are incidents at sea and reduce the risks of sort of people sort of falling into conflict by mistake. So that's the hope. But I don't think in the end that changes the big power calculations. And that's got to be concerning for the region right now.
Thank you so much. And that was Benjamin Bland, director of the Southeast Asia Project at the Lowy Institute in Sydney. Now, he highlighted that ASEAN appears to be moving forward with the code of conduct in the South China Sea. I have to admit, I am a little bit sceptical, considering I think the code of conduct has been in the works for about 10 years now. But overall, it really doesn't seem like the U.S.-China that the U.S.-China standoff is really going to have any... I don't think this is going to lead to any easing of tensions in this region in particular, particularly because the South China Sea is one of those that it's really almost a face issue at this point for Beijing, because this is, a matter of their national sovereignty, and they will want to protect it almost at all costs, really.
Yeah, the other interesting part is that he did say that ASEAN, he doesn't expect much changes in terms of their strategy or how they approach things. I think the whole nature of ASEAN is one of diplomatic slowness, right? Mm. So the question is, with all this increased geopolitical tensions in Southeast Asia, will they respond fast enough or quick enough as an entity to counter some of this increasing threats?
I mean, will they be able to respond at all? Because when a body like ASEAN operates on an entirely consensus basis, if you have one veto vote, then the entire system is deadlocked.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if there is a veto vote. But so again, that consensus is what's slowing things down. And the different dynamics that we have within ASEAN country, mm-hmm. the diversity that we have, the different alliances between especially the big powers, US and China, for an example, how Vietnam is, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, we all have sort of different inclination. And again, that's when consensus doesn't move. But at the same time, if you want to go for the vote with the alternative, which is voting, that could divide, the region even more. So it's a tough one.
All right, now we'll be coming back with more local news for you and a look at the PAS Muktamar after a few short messages. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.